So that is always our main focus when we want to push in and use computer science in the classroom. We want to make sure that the skills that are useful, like understanding algorithms, understanding the data that's pulled off of you when we search the internet or use an app online, or how do we go about solving a problem with a technology? It's always about that tool and how is it going to enhance those transferable skills.
Hello there. My name is Monica Burns, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. It is 2024, and whether you're joining for the first time, 100th time, or for the 200th time, I am so glad you're here. I have lots of exciting things in store for you this year. Each episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast is designed to give you ideas you can try yourself, share with a colleague, or bookmark for later in the school year. Get ready for stories from my time in the classroom, the work I do now with schools and districts, and my travels to different EdTech events, as well as practical ideas and inspiring stories from new guests each month. If we mention something you'd like to check out, you'll find the link to it in the show notes. So don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. This episode is sponsored by Intel Skills for Innovation, who are reimagining education with technology at its core. For educators and administrators looking to inspire and empower, Intel SFI offers cutting-edge and free resources to revolutionize learning experiences and prepare students for the fourth industrial revolution. They offer a suite of resources tailored to build future-ready skills and prepare students for a rapidly evolving world, including their specially curated starter packs and comprehensive professional development programs. Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com today to learn more. That's skillsforinnovation.intel.com. This week's episode is titled Creative Ways to Integrate Computer Science Skills with Kelly Schuster Paredes. Kelly is the co-host of the Teaching Python podcast and a computer science teacher in South Florida. We talk about everything from critical thinking skills to using drones with students. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast, Kelly. I am so excited to chat with you about creative ways to integrate computer science skills, things we can do in lots of different subject areas. But before we dive into all of that, can you share a bit about your role in education? What does your day-to-day look like?
Well, I'm sure like many teachers and educators out there, the day-to-day looks like nothing the same every single day. But on a typical day, I teach 3 classes of Python coding to middle schoolers, starting in 6th grade and in 8th grade. I used to teach 6th, 7th, and 8th, but we found an amazing person to work with, so she takes some of that load. And I also do a lot of work with our ClassLink and vendors and all the ed tech tools with the teachers and available to pop in the classroom when we have opportunities. So it's a little bit of everything as an ed tech coach would have.
Yeah. And, you know, today as we're talking about ways to infuse computer science skills really in any subject area and thinking about your perspective in your current middle school role too, you know, before we jump into all of those favorite tips and strategies, recommendations, can you explain what we mean when we say computer science skills, particularly for listeners who might not have tackled this topic directly in the past?
So it's funny. I was thinking about this question, and if you had asked me 7 years ago, prior to me coding Python, it would have been the typical, you know, ISTE skills, which are the computational thinking. These are the skills that we really always bring in as ed tech leaders. Mm-hmm. And these are amazing. And they still exist as a coder. But then as I start coding, you think of computer science skills a little bit more into the actual doing or the problem solving. You can look at UNESCO's ICT competency framework for a huge list, or you can look at the CSTA that has extensive lists. But pretty much for me, it's this necessary set of skills that keeps expanding about data science, cybersecurity, generative AI, ethical computing, AI literacy, digital literacy. It's about algorithms. It's understanding computers. It's understanding about the data that's being collected on us. The list goes on and on. Problem solving, programming basics, all these things that you do every day and you don't realize you're doing.
And I think that's a great reminder for listeners too, when thinking of this broad definition, this broad understanding of what it means in practice. There's a lot of pieces of our day, right, that could be labeled, right, with computer science skills, whether we are sitting in front of a keyboard or a monitor, all the things, right, or not. So I appreciate that context and a reminder. And as we are thinking about some creative ways you found to incorporate coding and computational thinking into different subject areas, what are some things that you tried or found or heard people doing in subjects like English, history, or art classes?
Well, I just want to step back a little bit and quickly explain the difference. If you ask a person who's always been coding, for them, when you talk about computer science skills and integrating straight into the classroom, the first thing they will think about is, you know, what kind of script, or can we use Scratch, or what can we use in the classroom that's going to have them coding? I do that as well as the other things of getting kids using the code and really trying to solve problems. One project, for example, that we did a couple years ago was with microbits. And we did all the backside coding on the microbit, and we used the microbits to simulate genetics. So the kids understood what how the microbits worked. It was kind of like in the infection game that they have on the microbit website. But when you push a button, we would radio our genes across the room, and these species would multiply, and the kids would have to identify the phenotype and the genotype and record it. So the idea that these little tools were coded and the kids could use them was a great way of integrating computer science. So they got to see these tools outside of the classroom, outside of the computer science classroom, and inside of the science classroom, which really changes that mindset for not only the teachers, but for the students. It's not just in computer science class. So that was a fun activity. And of course, we've done projects with probability and math, simple little coding projects to simulate probability and graphs and other things like that. Those are simple ones.
Yeah, but no, I mean, simple but robust, right? In terms of what kind of goals you can accomplish from a content perspective, right? What is on, say, that science teacher's like list of things, right, that they're going to work on over a semester, but then providing that problem solving opportunity for students is really exciting too. And, you know, you mentioned the genetic simulator example, right? How do you address the challenge of aligning computer science skills within the existing curricula and the learning outcomes that might be present, right? Someone is working towards making sure their students understand certain things in other subject areas.
So I think that's where my background kind of takes me. For me, although I'm very passionate now about Python, as you probably can see from my website, and I love Python, it is a game changer, but it's still just a tool. Mm-hmm. It's not a replacement. It's just like someone using a Quizlet or a Gemkit or, you know, another platform like iXL. It's a tool for learning. So that is always our main focus when we want to push in and use computer science in the classroom. We want to make sure that the skills that are useful, like understanding algorithms, understanding the data that's pulled off of you when we search the internet or use an app online, or how do we go about solving a problem with a technology? It's always about that tool and how is it going to enhance those transferable skills like problem solving, critical thinking, you know, collaboration, all those big C's, creativity. And it's really easier to do that way when we stop thinking about let's just go code. Oh, we're going to get them coding. So does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just that the vocabulary that you're using there to describe these instances of conversations that might come up organically in a social studies classroom while students are doing research and typing into a search engine, or conversations they might have as they're thinking critically on which way to solve a problem in a math classroom, right? I like that idea of bringing in some of that vocabulary to the conversations that you're having with students, and not feeling like you're forcing a coding experience just for the sake of it, but that it's really intertwined into some of those things that teachers are already working on or designing for their students. So, you know, are there resources, tools, or platforms you would recommend for an educator who's looking to integrate more computer science into their teaching, especially if they don't have a lot of background in this space? Is there a place you would send them or some favorite resources?
There's tons of resources to do simple things. I think one of the no-brainer stops would be pythonmicrobit.org, and that link will be in the show notes. It's a great place where kids can go in, all the information to code step by step. The Python Microbit Foundation, they did a great job of organizing it for teachers in the UK, and it's just a great resource in general. I love, and it's crazy, and I know a lot of physics teachers and science teachers might be getting excited. You have to get clearance from schools, but bringing in drones.
Yeah.
There's drone blocks, which you can code them in Python. You can also code them in block, and I forget color coding. It's the even easier block code.
Yeah.
I don't use that one, but you can code them to do things, take payloads, understand force. That's a great project that can happen. And I could go on for the list. I want to give you a couple more.
Yeah, please do.
EduBlocks by a good friend of mine, Joshua Lowe, who works at Anaconda. He made Python blocks for non-Python coders. Mm-hmm. And his idea was, when he was younger, that they didn't like typing out information. So let's make it a block so they can drag and drop. And they just integrated with Google Classroom. So there's a lot of information on that website. You like music? Go to EarSketch with Georgia Tech. You can create music sounds, get your art and music teacher coding, remixing clips of music with code. Do you want that?
One more. Yeah, please do.
Another one that for me, I think, has been a game changer in the last year is now with Replit.com. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I'm working with non-coders, is getting them to go and problem solve and think about the steps that they want to do in a code. And if you can type it with as close as the vocabulary as you can to code. So if you know Scratch and you know that there's list or there's conditional statements, you can type it out in a comment feature and Replit's AI will start to generate the code for you. So this is like a big game changer now in the lives of coders and teachers out there.
I just think that idea that someone who might feel intimidated, they're not in that space all the time, they're curious, a student has expressed interest in something, right? Just that idea of breaking down or removing some of the walls for them to build a level of confidence that maybe brings into a co-learning experience, right, with another student. And I can't help, Kelly, ask you a little bit more about the drones, because I know I've worked with some educators who are doing that, not, you know, or tell me stories about things that they've done with their groups of students. I've been to a lot of conferences where they have like the drone cages and they're showing off different things that students can do or work on. But do you have any stories or anything else to share about what you've seen when it comes to the use of that type of technology in education?
I mean, it is a game changer for the kids when they start using it. The first thing they want to do is kind of control a drone. So I take that out of the equation. Completely. You do have drone simulators. If you, for example, go on to Drone Blocks, they have a simulator you can purchase and use in class. It's fun, but the kids just want to fly the drone. No, you know, just put that out there. It takes about one class period to get the kids started, and really limited instruction from the teacher in just getting it flying. But you have to start thinking about what it is that you're trying to do in the classroom. So we talked about, for example, payloads and how much weight can these little drones carry and without messing up? And how do we get it to fly in a direction we think, oh, we're just going to make it fly 2 meters and it's going to go there.
Right.
It might not work. You know, how do we problem solve that? And that process of thinking through the problem is the biggest part of coding.
Yeah.
Because regardless if you know the syntax and the grammar and anything, if you can't think through a problem, then you probably won't be coding. So we want the kids thinking, we want them challenging their ideas, testing out their ideas, failing without getting hurt, obviously, and just having fun with code.
That's such a great example of getting kids started, having them try something out, see something really work or not work right in front of them, and have to pivot or make decisions or collaborate with a partner. And I just, that's so fascinating to hear, you know, just about what you've seen and what even that kind of quick setup could look like for a group of students who are exploring something. So how do you keep up to date with the latest in computer science education? How do you find new ideas for integrating into different subject areas or different classroom learning environment?
Well, first and foremost, I talk to my teachers, for example, and I'm going to be one more example that's completely not the typical coding assignment. We started talking about the difficulty of understanding the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. There's so much information. And if a person does this, then some other effect, and whether it's going to be covered under the amendment. And we started talking about the fact, well, that's conditional, right? There's a lot of conditions put on that. So we joked about trying to code the Constitution, and we started to go through the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, got only through the First Amendment because there's a lot of information. And it was that process of the teacher walking through the steps with the students and saying, okay, well, if we do this, is that our First Amendment with our right to speech, correct? And if we do this, it won't cover it. And the kids started going, oh, this is coding. Yes, it is. So talk to your teachers, find out what it is that the kids are having trouble with. That usually lends itself straight away. So I learn a lot from my teachers. When I'm not talking to them, I'm on my podcast with my co-host, Sean Tiber. We are constantly talking to other developers, other teachers around the world, and it's just an amazing learning experience to learn from others. So that's a lot of my time. I'm constantly on LinkedIn and with the Python community. If you want to get into coding, for me, I know I'm biased, but the Python community are very open to helping out newbies and getting you coded. And I pretty much just go on web pages and learn.
No, and that's perfect and great advice too, even about finding that community or locating a group. I know LinkedIn doesn't always get as much attention or love as, say, a place like Twitter, X, or Instagram, but I found it to be such a great place too to just connect with educators or learn new information. So appreciate the shout out for that platform too. And so, Kelly, where can people connect with you? Where can they find more about your work? Tell us where they can find your podcast as well.
So podcast is teachingpython.fm, and you can contact me directly through that website. I am on LinkedIn all the time. I just posted an article about a few things with AI for educators, which is a huge technology computer science skill that we need to improve on as educators. You can find me on Twitter or X at Kelly Pared. And then we are starting a brand new Google Workspace with the Technology Readiness Council. And I believe you have to email me in order to be added to this. And it's coding in education. And it's the idea that around the world, we can just talk about coding. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple admins, a couple of professors from University of San Diego, and a lower school ed tech computer science teacher as well in the group. So we're looking for people to join us. And you can get my email from the show notes.
You bet. I'll put all the information there so people can find you. They can find your podcast. Kelly, thank you so much for your time today, for these great stories and really actionable tips for listeners.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
It was lots of fun chatting with Kelly today, so let's finish up this episode like we always do with a few key tips for making this EdTech easy. Look at the role of problem solving in your curriculum. Consider whether technology like drones is a good fit for your students. Join communities of educators who can support your interests. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode, including all of the ways to connect with Kelly, at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 256. A big thank you to today's sponsor, Intel Skills for Innovation. Ready to transform the educational experience with Intel Skills for Innovation? Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com today to step into a world of possibilities. Sign up now using the free code MONICA to unlock exclusive access to their comprehensive resources. You'll get access to over 70 lesson packages and more than 120 hours of professional development. Visit skillsforinnovation.intel.com and use the code MONICA for free access to a wealth of resources. This March, we'll celebrate 5 years of the Easy EdTech podcast. To help celebrate, I'm hoping you can do us a favor. Leave a rating or review for the podcast wherever you're listening today. Spotify will let you tap on the stars, and Apple Podcasts will let you tap on the stars too, and leave a 1 or 2 sentence review. A big thank you in advance for helping us get ready to celebrate this March.